Thank you, everybody, and let me echo what Kathleen just said about being here this morning. This is great. Today, I'm going to talk about providing care to pediatric patients in EMS. Are we improving as a nation? I'd like to recognize my co-authors. All of us except Dr. Edgerton are with the University of Utah Department of Pediatrics, and I have no relationships to disclose. So by way of introduction, children often represent a special challenge for emergency medical services or EMS providers for several reasons. First, only about 8% of EMS calls nationally involve children, so EMS providers treat many more adults than children. Second, children have unique medical needs in comparison to adults. For example, respiratory rates, heart rates, and blood pressure levels all change as children grow, so vital signs that would be normal for an adult patient may signal distress in a child. Special care and equipment is necessary when EMS providers administer oxygen to children who have smaller airways and lung capacity compared to adults. Similarly, medications must be carefully calculated specifically for each pediatric patient based on his or her weight. Additionally, for many providers, the specialized work of caring for children often takes place in the uncontrolled environment of the out-of-hospital setting. An EMS provider may find themselves treating a pediatric patient at a rodeo, at the side of a road, or in a home that is in disarray. Therefore, having resources and equipment specialized for pediatrics when providing care to children is a critical first step to assuring the proper care of children. Recognizing these needs, Congress passed legislation in 1984 establishing the Emergency Medical Services for Children program. The EMS for Children's program goal is to ensure that all children receive timely and appropriate care in an emergency situation. The program funds various research initiatives and also provides competitive funds to states and U.S. territories to develop programs addressing the emergency medical needs of children and their families. Specifically, states and territories are required to address various performance measure areas that have been developed to assess and improve pediatric emergency care. This study looks at three specific measures and the results of data collected by a nationwide survey to EMS agencies over two time periods. We will examine changes in availability of on- and offline medical direction and specialized equipment on ambulances when treating a pediatric patient among EMS agencies in the U.S. The availability of on- and offline medical direction and essential equipment and supplies is an indicator of preparedness to take care of children during an emergency event. So how did we collect this information from EMS agencies? The EMSC program developed a web-based survey with input from national experts that was piloted and field-tested before implementation. Using a multiple contact system, the survey was sent to administrators of licensed EMS agencies that respond to 911 calls, including all volunteer and paid fire departments, as well as public and private ambulance companies. We excluded air and water transport. To establish an initial benchmark, the survey was first deployed in 2010, and then again in 2013 to determine progress over time. The instrument was identical in both time periods to help ensure data comparability. The survey to EMS agency administrators contained 31 questions, including demographic information, such as whether the agency operates at the basic life support, or BLS, level, or advanced life support, referred to as ALS. The majority of the questions addressed the availability of on- and offline medical direction and equipment on ambulances and were yes or no or scale-based questions. For example, here's an example of a scale-based question as part of the assessment of the availability of online medical direction. In the past year, how often was online medical direction available to provide medical advice to your providers when they were treating pediatric patients aged 0 to 18 years? Here is a similar question for offline medical direction. And here's the question for answering how many of your blank transporting ground vehicles carry A, and then you would look at all of that equipment. And since we had already asked demographic information, we knew the number of ambulances, and we automatically populated that field. All data were analyzed in SAS to produce descriptive statistics and to compare BLS versus ALS agencies. And then using the zip code of each EMS agency, And the criteria from the USDA, we stratified by geographical locations for urban, rural, and frontier to also examine differences based on physical location. You can see from this chart that over 9,000 EMS agencies were surveyed in both time periods. Approximately 8,000 agencies responded each time period, resulting in an over 80% response rate. For various reasons, not all EMSC programs were required to survey their agencies in each of the three performance measure areas, so each year resulted in a different number of states. But 32 states surveyed their agencies in both years in all three measures. So to promote data comparability for this presentation, the findings we present today are based on survey results from agencies in those 32 states representing over 5,000 EMS agencies. This map shows the 32 states and offers a fairly representative picture of the U.S. So what did we find? The first performance measure that respondents were asked about in the survey was the accessibility of online medical direction, which is defined as having 24/7 access via radio or phone to a higher medical authority who can provide real-time patient care to the EMS provider at the scene when the provider is treating the patient. Because EMS providers, as we said earlier, rarely treat children, consequently, they may feel they do not have the expertise or confidence to do that. So access to online medical direction ensures that the providers have resources available to treat the pediatric patient. Please note that if an agency administrator indicated that their agency had not attempted to contact online medical direction in the last year, they did not answer questions related to online medical direction. So here's what we found. Combining survey responses that showed availability to be always 100% or almost always at 90%, the top half of this chart shows that we found that approximately 90% of BLS and ALS EMS agency administrators report having online medical direction available to their providers in both time periods. BLS agencies reported a modest improvement over time, while ALS agencies essentially stayed the same. When we examined availability by geographic location, shown in the bottom half of the chart, agencies located in frontier regions had the lowest availability. The last column on the right shows that while there were slight changes in availability, these changes were not significant. The EMSC program target is that at least 90% of the time an agency will have online medical direction. So it appears that this performance measure is fairly well achieved, suggesting that most providers have a resource available to them when treating a pediatric patient. The second performance measure that respondents were asked about was the availability of offline medical direction in the form of written protocols inclusive of pediatric patients. To assess the availability of offline medical direction, respondents were asked if written protocols are available at the scene of an emergency readily available to EMS providers by either being carried on the ambulance or on EMS personnel. The availability of written protocols helps to standardize care by providing current pediatric clinical recommendations and evidence-based guidelines available when treating a patient. Again, using responses that showed always or almost always, we found that approximately two-thirds of agency administrators report that pediatric protocols were available to their providers. The EMSC program target is that at least 90% of the time an agency will have offline medical direction available to their providers. The top part of this slide, comparing BLS to ALS agencies, shows that ALS agencies have met the EMSC for children target, with BLS agencies making substantial progress in the first time period, but still not achieving 90%. Comparing locations, agencies located in rural and frontier made significant progress in assuring the availability of protocols. The similarity between BLS agencies and those operated in rural and frontier areas is not surprising, since BLS agencies often operate in these same locations. Lastly, the third performance measure respondents were asked about addressed the availability of pediatric equipment on ambulances. There are 35 recommended pediatric equipment items for BLS, and for ALS ambulances, there's a total of 67 recommended items. These percentages indicate how many agencies have ambulances that carry all of the recommended equipment. We can see that currently a quarter of the BLS ambulances carry all 35 items, and a third of ALS ambulances carry all 67. The column on the right shows that we found small but significant change over time. The EMS for Children program target is that 90% of agencies will carry all the recommended equipment. That less than a third of the agencies in the country carry that suggests that EMS providers may lack the needed equipment to care for children. However, when we examined the number and type of equipment available on ambulances, we found a much more positive picture, showing that most of the essential equipment needed to care for children is available to providers. This table shows that on average, BLS ambulances in the nation carry about 92% or 32 to 35 of the recommended equipment on their ambulances, and ALS carries about 64 or 67. So what did we find? Overall, the performance measure data provide a national snapshot of the resources available to provide care for children in the emergency medical services environment. The data presented today represent more than 5,000 agencies in each time period, and the 32 states represent a majority of the states and therefore provide a reasonable assessment of the current status. So what does it all mean? Do EMS agencies and their associated providers have access to pediatric-specific resources, equipment, and supplies? Have we made progress as a nation? For the most part, we can say yes. EMS agencies and their providers have access to the resources to help them care for children. We found that on and offline medical direction appears to be well implemented and that equipment is on its way. If we look at those who carry most of the equipment, it appears that we've met that. Fortunately, EMSC program managers and state EMS directors have found these results revealing and are working with their EMS medical directors and other agency personnel to better develop on and offline pediatric medical direction when needed. Other state agencies and national organizations are also helping to promote the EMSC performance measures. There are several strengths as well as limitations to this study. Some of the strengths are the high response rate and the representativeness of the data, as well as the ability to examine progress over time. The areas assessed by the performance measures are recognized as areas of importance by the Institute of Medicine and national organizations. In addition, the process of measuring and reporting has generated interest by EMSC for Children managers and other groups and continue to provide resources to many agencies in their state. Regarding limitations, the data are self-reported and could not be independently validated due to sample size. Huh, how do you like that? Talking about EMS and I got that. I had to pay extra, but I thought it was worth it. At present, the data are linked by state, not by specific agencies. It is possible that an agency responded in 2010, but is not included into the 2013 survey, and vice versa. Finally, these measures address availability, but are not directly tied to patient outcomes. So while we may know that most EMS agencies in the country have access to online medical direction, we do not know the quality of the medical direction received or if it made a difference in patient care. This is indeed the first step. Similarly, for equipment, while ambulances may have had most or all of the recommended equipment, at present we do not know if the equipment is being used, if it's being used correctly, and also if that made a difference in the final outcome. Currently, the EMS for Children program is developing new performance measures to address the patient outcome issue. As this slide shows, the goal is to be able to benchmark and assess progress in the areas of patient outcomes shown in the top of the arrow. In the interim, the EMS for Children program is examining ways to assess processes related to availability as indicated by the red arrow. For example, the program is considering ways to assess how agencies skill check their providers on the use of equipment, or what are the processes used to assess compliance with written protocols. Until then, we do know that most agencies and their providers have the first step in place. Resources are available to provide special care for children. Thank you for your attention. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to take any questions if there's time.
We have time for a couple questions. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's always like one or two states in that area.
Yeah, because like I said, for various reasons, a state could assess two performance measures and not the third because maybe they have a protocol that's implemented that they always have the equipment. So I just presented the states that did all three. So in the Northeast, there was many that just reported on two of the three performance measures.
Is that something that we in the Northeast should be encouraging?
Well, no, because the reason you wouldn't report is because you have something in place that shows you have that availability, so you didn't need to go to your agency administrators and find that data out. So it's a good sign that you don't report on all three measures. We only went to the data collection to agencies when you couldn't show that your state had a protocol in place for assuring ambulances have all the equipment, or if you couldn't show how medical direction was provided.
So this Northeast thing is actually not that they're lacking, because
right.
They're not reporting data.
Yes, they're reporting it in a different way, not through a survey.